You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Welcome to another episode of JX Arts. Joining me in the studio today is JPR Arts reporter and host of the podcast My Better Half and the Creative Way, Vanessa Finney.
Good morning. Good morning to you. And I also want to echo the gratitude to our listeners, those of you who have been able to support this people-powered radio station. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Also joining us today is a special guest, Kalina Reeves. She's a key member of the JPR team, serving across multiple operations from marketing and accounting to event production and broadcast operations. Today, she's on air to share another one of her many talents. Hey, Kalina.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Later in the program, we'll be joined by the director of the Coos Bay Public Library, Sammy Pearson. Now, we've covered a lot of different kinds of activities in the world of arts, music, and entertainment over the past several months, but today we're going to start with a topic we haven't touched on so far, and that is dance. Now, there are many ways to get involved in dance in our region, but Kalina, there's a certain style of dance that you're particularly fond of. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so the dance is called Lindy Hop. It's a Black American partner dance originated in like the late 20s, early 30s out of Harlem, New York. It's a really energetic, grounded style based in jazz and African roots with some kind of European blending there as well.
Okay, that's during the Harlem Renaissance.
Exactly, yeah. Wow. So there was it was a huge cultural phenomenon during that time, and it kind of had a rebalance about 50 years later in the 80s and 90s. And we're trying to grow it again here in our little valley, but it's really popular internationally. There's events that happen, not just in America, but in other nations around the world. There are, of course, with social media, there's people doing it online, and it's seeing a little bit of a resurgence. I don't think it's quite reached the boom that it had in the 90s, but we're working on it.
Okay, so it's the Lindy Hop.
Exactly,
now,
yeah.
Can you describe it?
Yeah, so like I said, it's very energetic yet grounded. It's can be a very big dance. If you look it up on YouTube, you might come across this video, Hell's a Poppin', and it's a very high energetic, acrobatic, you could say. But if you just go out to a social dance, it can definitely be chill. You might almost feel like you're dancing the blues at sometimes. It just really is a matter of like your partner and the music that you're dancing to. In general, it's danced to like big band and jazz music. Obviously, anything with a swing beat to it is going to be a more natural feeling. But really, it's what you make it. I think the most important part is to have that conversation with your partner during the dance. So if you're connected to the other person, then it can be a fun time no matter how much aerobatics you're doing. So acrobatics.
Okay, so it sounds athletic. How did you get started?
Yeah, I started in Sacramento with East Coast Swing. It's a milder, simplified version of Lindy Hop. Lindy Hop can be, it's primarily like an 8-count dance, but you'll see it in 6-count as well. East Coast is 6-count and simplifies some of the steps. Lindy Hop is step, step, triple step, 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 triple step, whereas East Coast is quick, quick, slow, slow. So it's just easier for beginners to learn. But Lindy Hop is, if you're looking at it on the floor, it's recognizable by your posture. So your knees are slightly bent. You are in an athletic position. Like if you jumped and landed, you'd stay where you landed. So with your knees slightly bent and kind of ready for the next thing. The geometry on the floor is more circular. So there's the iconic move, the Lindy Circle and the swing out. You're, as a lead, often bringing your partner around you in different ways. So it's a lot of fun. It can be
so,
up, down.
So around. Who leads? The guy or the girl or, you know?
Yeah. So traditionally, the male is the lead and the female is the follow. But of course, that is very fluid these days. I'm personally a switch, which just means you lead and I lead and follow. A lot of my colleagues also. So in the middle of a dance, you could kind of switch it up on your partner. If you know that they lead and follow, you could steal the lead at some point or force them to lead you at another point. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay, so there's a little gamesmanship.
Yes, exactly. So one of the most important, arguably, parts of Lindy Hop is the conversation that happens during the course of a dance. Mm-hmm. So if you have a good connection with your partner and you're paying attention to what they're doing and listening to the music, it almost creates like a opportunity for almost like a jam session. Like if you're playing with other musicians, you might see something that they do and do a little ad lib version of it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's literal like that. You see what they do and try to copy it. Or maybe it's you're connected, but you're doing different things. So it's very conversational.
So who's likely to get involved in this kind of dance? Who's likely to enjoy it?
Well, our organization, just for context, Swing Society of Southern Oregon, our goal is to get everybody involved. I think that there is, depending on the scene that you're in, the age demographics are going to vary widely. I don't think that it should be limited to any age or any person or any ability, really. Like I said, you know, it's at its most energetic and exciting, a very athletic dance, but it certainly doesn't have to be that way.
Okay, so do you need a partner? Can you just do it by yourself?
Well, like I said, it has some roots in jazz. So Lindy Hop is inherently a partner dance, so you do need a partner to dance Lindy Hop. That being said, I think it would be possible to practice Lindy Hop as an individual practicing your solo jazz. But to really get that feeling of connection, you do need another person.
If you're just joining us, in the studio we have JPR arts reporter Vanessa Finney and a special guest from our JPR family, Kalina Reeves. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the Lindy Hop. Is that popular in our region?
It's not so much these days. Well, when you say region, my mind went to the Rogue Valley, but there are great swing scenes regionally. I actually just got back from the Portland Lindy Exchange a couple weeks ago, where there were dancers from Seattle, from Portland, from Eureka, California. So most decently sized cities have a swing scene. We're just a little bit of the odd one out. I think I mentioned earlier, we had a scene in the 90s actually led by JPR volunteer Craig Faulkner. So when he kind of retired out of the scene, nobody stepped in to fill his space. So Wendy Tanner, who's the president of SOSO, kind of stepped in to fill the void maybe 5 or 10 years ago now. Wendy, if you're listening, I'm sorry if that's not right.
And you said SOSO?
SOSO, SSOSO.org.
Okay, one more time.
SSOSO.org. It stands for Swing Society of Southern Oregon.
Okay, and that's how our listeners can get involved?
Absolutely. So we are developing a website that has community events, mostly Lindy Hop right now, but we're going to try and get a more community dance calendar going there so that other dancers and styles can be represented there. Our mission is to create a vibrant Lindy Hop scene, but we, of course, have a lot of crossover with other dancers in the area. The Annex Dance Studio in Medford is a fusion studio, so there is Lindy Hop there, but we're working with Tess Minnick Gunderson is her name, and she teaches a variety of styles. So while I'm personally a Lindy Hop lover, I think it's great to just get everybody dancing. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of dance out there. Vanessa, do you dance?
I do. I'm just finishing today an 8-week series in Beginning Tango. And that's here in Ashland. But I just recently discovered the Annex in Medford that Kalina was just talking about, owned by, or at least run by, Tess Minnick Gunderson.
Yeah, she's great.
Designed beautifully in there. It's so vintage and really great space. And Kalina, we were practicing specifically switching leads,
said,
which
fun.
I prefer to follow, but it is, you know, good for your brain to switch back and forth. And it does practice that attunement.
Yeah.
Because tango, of course, is a partner dance as well, like Lindy Hop. But I've been taking Beginning Tango with a wonderful local instructor named Morgan Lindsay. We're concluding tonight with kind of a social dance, and our listeners can learn more at ashlandtango.com. But I did want to just give a shout out to one of the newer venues and cafes in Ashland. Downtown in the plaza is Cafe Lumina, the Italian cafe. And you may have noticed, anybody strolling by, it's a really nice scene. They open up the front window, so there's a bar there, so you can see people dancing. They've got all kinds of dance events, Fridays and Saturdays from 7 to 9, and I'll just pick up a few that are coming up this week. The fourth Saturdays, it's Tango Night, so the next one is April 25th. They also have a Cuban Salsa Night the last Friday of every month, so that'll be this Friday, April 24th. They do the cha-cha-cha, they do the cumbia, the bachata, the mambo. So you can learn about those particular scenes at luminacafeashland.com.
And if I could just add, actually, yeah, in July, we're going to start doing second Saturdays at Cafe Lumina. There will be a Lindy Hop class starting there. It's very fresh, so it's not exactly out there yet, but I believe it's starting in July. I think May and June we might have a live band as well on the second Saturday.
Terrific.
If I'm wrong, I apologize, but go to soso.org. That'll have for sure the correct information within the next month or so.
Okay, good. So they're employing local musicians as well. And by the way, I did see a wonderful guitar duo, Canto Soul, once. So yeah, definitely want to put that on your radar for a nice arts venue.
Well, one of the things that I don't do is dance.
However,
okay, well, you'll recruit me. But I have been to the Evergreen Ballroom several times.
Mm-hmm.
But because our family friends, we call them our family, they have teams who perform different styles of dances that they've learned there. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful venue. Where else can people of any age learn to dance?
Yeah, there's quite a few opportunities in the Valley. The Evergreen Ballroom is a great one. We used to do Lindy Hop classes there. I do believe there's somebody teaching Lindy Hop or Lindy Hop adjacent out there, so you could certainly check it out.
There's a dance space in Ashland, I believe it's called, off of Hersey.
Yeah, Dance Works.
Dance Works,
I think,
maybe
is the spot you're thinking of.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do bar, ballet, hip hop. They're have a lot of youth classes too. So if you have young children or teenagers that want to get into it, that's a great spot to check out.
Great. The more I scratch into it, the more I see there's really a thriving dance scene that I'm just learning about here in Southern Oregon.
Yeah, it's inspiring for sure. And the one other place I'll mention, which I think I mentioned, is the Annex in Medford next to the Copper Plank.
Okay. Well, we'll have to take a short break on that. I'll be back shortly with more of JX Arts and our guides, Vanessa Finney and Kalina Reeves. Also joining us after the break is the director of the Coos Bay Public Library. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to JX Arts with our guides, JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney, and a special guest from our talented JPR team, Kalina Reeves. Also joining us by phone for this segment is the director of the Coos Bay Public Library, Sammy Pearson. Welcome to the Exchange, Sammy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I understand you have an upcoming event at your library featuring the author of The Art of Ceremony, Voices of Renewal from Indigenous Oregon. Tell me about that.
Yes, we have Rebecca Dopkins coming to speak about her book, but it focuses on contemporary customary arts of the nine federally recognized tribes in Oregon, and so we're really looking forward to that. This whole book started and project started out of a 2008 exhibit that was held at the Haley Ford Museum there in Salem. Originally, it was regalia that was chosen by the nine tribes, and so that sort of started the kickoff of it, and it grew into the book and into examining all sorts of customary arts from the tribes.
So in our previous segment, just before you came on, we were discussing the art of dance.
Mm-hmm.
So what role does dance play in the art of ceremony for Indigenous tribes?
Well, I am by no means an expert, but tribes not only, throughout the United States definitely use dance as an art form, not only in the dance itself, but in the regalia that is associated with those dances.
Well, dance, like music, is universal across cultures. But
absolutely,
what we wear, and I think that's what you're referring to, regalia, mm-hmm, what we wear when we dance, is also a form of creative expression.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can be creative through just about everything you do.
So tell me,
one of the many ways.
Tell me about the relevance of attire in these ceremonial expressions.
Well, I think it's an expression of a personal level, tribal level, and like I said, I'm by no means an expert on any of this, but it's very much a personal thing, but also a larger affiliation with others and how you can express that through things such as clothing.
So tell me more about the book itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the book features both images and text, and it discusses things like what sovereignty means through art, how sovereignty plays into the objects, and how does the land all play into it. It's a very rich weaving of several themes throughout the book, and how it all comes back to the customary arts, rather than like fine art, for instance. This is more dealing with art and customs within the tribes.
Well, it's an interesting delineation between fine arts and these custom or cultural arts. The art of ceremony focuses on indigenous tribes of Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes. The book focuses on all nine of the tribes, federally recognized tribes in Oregon. Yes.
So that kind of reminds me of the national celebration of America at 250 years, which seems mm-hmm. to be everywhere I look. I see something about America 250, which seems to me would be a great time to highlight, commemorate, and celebrate the people who have lived here for many generations before 1776 and are still here today.
Absolutely.
Do you think ceremonies can bring people together across cultural divides?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you gain such a deeper understanding of people through what they find important and how they celebrate it and the expressions through that celebration. And there's just no way you can walk away without knowing more about another person that way.
Well, there's probably a lot of similarities if we just would come together and start to explore and be curious. Is the art of ceremony, the voices of renewal from Indigenous Oregon, this book and this author talk, is this open to the public?
It absolutely is, yes. We welcome everyone. It's going to be on April 25th at 1:30 at the Coos Bay Library. And yes, absolutely, everyone is welcome.
Okay.
And I think everyone should come because what a great knowledge base this is and can be shared publicly.
Okay, and the author is again?
Rebecca Dobkins.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to share with us before we let you go?
Other than just sort of along the same line, talking about expression and art form in a way, we are about to we received some books from the Confederated Tribe of Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw with language. Children's language books now, and what a great way also to express art is through language. And so we'll have those available for the public soon also.
Absolutely. And is that in partnership with any of the local schools?
We will have them available. The schools will be able to have access to them, yes.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that, and we look forward to it. Thanks so much for joining us, Sammy.
Thank you.
That was Sammy Pearson, director of the Coos Bay Public Library. You're listening to JX Arts on the Jefferson Exchange with JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney and our special guest, Kalina Reeves. So speaking of books and art, Vanessa, what else is happening that we should know about?
Yeah, we have a similar, an art book and art display by the co-founder of Anima Mundi, Tiziana Della Rovere. Tiziana studied painting and sculpture at the California College of Arts and Crafts, and she also attended seminary at the Liberal Catholic Church of Antioch, where she was among one of the first women ordained as a priest. So it's not a surprise that she chose to kind of combine those pursuits and create an art honoring so-called feminine divinity. So this is a two-pronged work. The title Adorata, which is Italian for the feminine form of beloved. It's the name of a gorgeous book that she's illustrated with many feminine illustrations, for lack of a better word. And it's also the title of an art exhibit showing these illustrations as an exhibit at the Langford Gallery in Phoenix. That exhibit runs through May 22nd, but there's several notable events along the way, like author talks, that kind of thing. And you can get details at adorata.org, and that's adorata.org.
Well, the Christian Church certainly has a long history of art.
It does. And so she's collected 16 portraits here, and it's she represents it as the Divine Mother expressing her universality as she's embodied in women of all ages and races. And I'm looking at a flyer right now, and they really are just gorgeous to behold these illustrations.
You know what's interesting about that? I was just My wife and I homeschool, and I was just having a lesson with my boys because we had this posting of a AI-generated depiction of our president as a savior.
Right.
And I asked them, did you know that that's not the first time that's happened? And, of course, people were, you know, my boys are 15 and 13. They didn't know.
Yeah.
But what's surprising is that most people do not know mm-hmm. that if you walk into Congress today, right now, and you look in the rotunda, and you look up 180 feet above the rotunda is a huge, giant painting on the roof, the dome roof of the Congress, and it's called the Apotheosis of Washington. And you see this depiction of George Washington surrounded by angels, angelic beings, and, you know, the Greek gods Minerva and Neptune or whatever it is. And you have this deification of Washington on the roof of Congress overlooking where people lie in state and, you know, we have all these various different events going on. The apotheosis is the deification of someone.
Okay.
And so most people don't realize that we have a long history of doing this in America.
I did not. We always learn from each other in these segments, don't we?
We do. Now, I understand that there are a couple of film festivals coming up and...
Yes, I can talk a couple of them. Of course, the Ashland Independent Film Festival is celebrating its 25th year. They have details at ashlandfilm.org. They're running from April 23rd to the 26th. I'll point you to, I think, my most recent podcast of The Creative Way. My most recent episode, I spoke with the director of programming, Aura Johnson. You can find that on our website at ijpr.org. We're throwing a lot of websites at you. I imagine our listeners scribbling in notebooks if they... they're really following
along. I hope they're listening back closely.
Yeah. And one thing we didn't, and we also spoke with filmmaker Alex Cox, but one thing we didn't get into that I know Aura wanted to touch on is something special from former artistic and executive director Richard Herskowitz. As curator of special programs, he's got a couple of neat things up his sleeve for this year's film festival. Two themed programs. One is silent cinema. So throughout the festival, there'll be a couple of opportunities to hear live composers and musicians playing a live score to a silent film. And another themed program is Raiders of the Archives. I didn't realize what a thing this was, but apparently it's a whole thing. Experimental filmmakers creatively remixing archival footage. And when I attended the preview here at SOU, they showed some of that. And it really is an art unto itself. So he's got a special guest, members of certain important archives that these filmmakers rely on, such as the Prelinger Archives, Craig Baldwin's Other Cinema. So lots of just really interesting programming, as usual, going on at the 25th annual AIFF. And then the second annual, GlowFest. This is an event just started down in Fort Jones at a venue called The Rec in California. Full disclosure, JPR sponsors this event, and our DJ Danny Kelly is its artistic director. Now, this is embracing our listeners in far North California, but it, you know, it's worth a drive, too. I looked it up on the map, and if you're coming from Ashland, it's just a little bit further than, say, if you're driving to Grants Pass or something, maybe 15 minutes more.
And it's a beautiful drive, too.
It's a beautiful drive, I understand. I haven't explored the area myself. There's also local filmmakers, too, that just caught my eye that will be featured there at GlowFest, or Lainey DeKino, Gary Lundgren. And so what it is this three-day celebration of film, music, and art, and it's supporting local artists and producers, local small businesses, so there's various vendors, food vendors, and it's going on May 14th through May 16th, and you can get a full list of events and ticket information at glowfest.org.
Okay. Now, I understand that there are a couple of film screenings that are coming up for the environmental documentary Sequoias of the Sea in Northern California as well. And I think one of them is in Klamath and the other one is in Arcata. So I don't have that information in front of me, but we'll have it on our website at jeffexchange.org.
Sure. Yeah, I can share that. It's the award-winning documentary Sequoias of the Sea. They have one coming up, a screening in Arcata on April 23rd at the Arcata Theater Lounge, starting at 6:30. And then the one in Klamath, Mike, is at the Yurok Tribal Headquarters. And do I have a minute just to mention some arts opportunities? So you artists and writers out there, I've got a couple of opportunities that just opened up. There's something called the Spark Award that awards $25,000 to individuals. This is the third year of a pilot program. They've had performing arts and media and literary in the past years. This year, it's visual art. So if you're a visual artist, you have a chance to support your career. And you can get details at millerfound.org. And also, if you're a writer, the award submissions just opened for the Pacific Northwest Book Award. And I am not seeing the website here, but it's pretty much the acronym that you can find.
Okay. All right. Kalina? Anything?
Yeah, a couple quick upcoming events. We do have a fourth Saturday Lindy Hop dance at the Annex, which I highly encourage anyone to come out to. There's a beginner-friendly lesson. You can come alone or bring a partner. Myself and my colleagues, Tyler Phillips and Mackenzie Cummings and Wendy Tanner, after knee surgery, is getting back into teaching again. So we trade off on instruction at those dances. So again, fourth Saturdays, and you can find information at ssoso.org. And then just really quick, at the Ashland Hills Hotel in Ashland on Friday, May 1st, there will be a night of live music with the Sweet Clementines and the Rhythm Kings.
Yay.
So 4 hours of live music. It should be a blast. And even if you don't dance, just come out and enjoy the music. There will be snacks, and we would love to see some new faces.
Okay, dance and snacks. Where is that again?
That's at Ashland Hills Hotel on Friday, May 1st. We're calling it Rhythm and Swing. And again, information at ssoso.org.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Our guides for this episode of JX Arts were Vanessa Finney and Kalina Reeves.